Please take your Bibles and join me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Today will be the last in our series that we have been doing on the glorification of Jesus Christ and what it means for us. And last week, we spent time in Acts chapter 2 speaking of the fact that you and I are constantly battling in the Christian life the wilderness encroachment that comes our way. You clear a piece of property here upon this earth and don't take care of it. Before long, it'll be grown up with weeds, and then the next thing you know, you'll have trees popping up, and that land will return back to wilderness. And you and I face that on a daily basis, whereby we have to deal with the encroachment of the world, the philosophies of the world that are so prevalent today, creeping into our Christian lives, and we have to fight that. We have to stay on our toes as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme passage has been Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 36. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and here, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And then look over in chapter 6, testimony of a young man who gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. One verse here in chapter 6 that tells of his life. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and say that next word, please. Power did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word this morning. Lord, we want to be full of faith and power this morning. We pray that we might understand the truth concerning your power, the presence of the Holy Spirit that came the moment that you were exalted in heaven. Your glory required the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to empower us, that we might live the Christian life, that we might be able to conduct business for you, not in our own strength, because our flesh fails us, but, Father, to do it in your own power. We ask, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts today as we seek to study thy word, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we said that the need of power is something that's ever present. You and I cannot live the Christian life in the flesh. It's not possible. We must have the endowment, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The moment that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell you in order that he might enable you to live the Christian life, that he might empower you to do it. And what happens so many times is that we still have the flesh within us, and we do not cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We do not allow him to accomplish his work, which is to bring glory to the name of Christ, and as a result, the Spirit of God is grieved. He's not able to accomplish. Now, I do not ascribe to the teaching that is in some quarters of Christianity today that say that Christians leak out the Holy Spirit. First of all, how in this world can you leak out a person? I think people misunderstand. The Holy Spirit is not this presence. He is not some kind of force that's around, you know, and he kind of comes and goes as he will. No, he is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. And he's not an it, he's a he. Oh, how we need to let these things be in our hearts and let's proclaim them. You know, you come up with goofy ideas like the Holy Spirit leaking out whenever you start allegorizing the Scripture. I find nowhere in the Bible that it says that the Holy Spirit, be careful because he'll leak out of you. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. I do know and find that it says the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That is, he is not allowed through you to accomplish his mission. He works with your will. And if you're stubbornly acting in the flesh, he's grieved because he wants more than anything else to bring glory to the name of Christ. That's why the Lord sent him. that he might praise and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is the Christ personage in you to live the Christian life. Now, the necessity of power is given to us in the Word because Christ insisted that his plan requires his power. Not only are we to follow his plan, but we have to have his power in order to carry out his plan. You can't do it in the power of the flesh. And I'm afraid today that many in the church are trying to accomplish God's will in our power, and it can't be done. It cannot be done. Now, we find here in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8 that Stephen was a man who was full of faith and he was full of power. I don't know about you, but I want to have that same kind of power. I want to be like Stephen. You say, well, Stephen, it cost him his life. It cost him his life to be endued with faith and power to carry out God's work. He didn't have a very long life. Listen, you live as long as God wants you to live. You say, well, I plan on doing this. Well, wait a minute. You plan on? Let's just let that soak in just a moment. You know, you hear people, I plan on living to be 100. I plan on living as long as God wants me to live. Now I'm on spiritual ground. Right? I'm on spiritual ground then. I'm on fleshly ground with the other. I plan on living to be 100. God may want you to live to be 120. You're short of it if you're planning on living to 100. Or he may not want you to live that long. You see, what it is submissiveness to God's will. Whatever he wants me to be, if he wants to cut life short. I've been reading Christian biographies. I've been doing a series. I have the Wycliffe biography of great Christians. Excellent little book, gives a little snippet, and I was shocked to see how many of them died very young. I counted up 6 that I've read that died before the age of 30. And yet they still have an impact in the church today. How is that? Because they were full of faith and power. That's why. How is it that some quote-unquote Christians seem to have little impact and others seem to have more? Well, some people are just dependent on their education. Some people are dependent upon their advanced degrees, and some people are dependent upon their talents and their gifts. And then there are others that are dependent on the Holy Spirit. Amen? They're dependent on that power that God sent in the person of the Holy Spirit when Christ was glorified. He wants you to depend. He doesn't want you to depend upon your education. He doesn't want you to depend upon your talents. He doesn't want you to depend upon your gift or ability to speak well. I want to tell you something. He can take the poorest of speakers and make them into the greatest of communicators of the gospel. D.L. Moody was a man that wasn't able to complete even a middle school education. And yet God allowed him to be able to communicate the message of the gospel around the world. I listened to a recording that was made of D.L. Moody before he died. It's on the internet. You can go there and listen to it yourself, of great preachers. Early recordings that were made on these wax discs. And it's been transferred over, and you listen to him and you say, he sure sounds like a man that has more of an education than what everybody says he does. I mean, he was able to communicate the Word of God. Now, was he dependent on his education? No. He didn't have one. Who was he dependent on? He was dependent upon the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you something, folks. We need to get back to that in the church. We need a good wake-up dose of reality that we have sacrificed power for prestige. We have sacrificed the enabling of the Holy Spirit for our education. And they're not equals. Now, God can use an education. I'm thankful that God allowed me to get an education, but I've come to realize over the years that the more I study the Bible, the less I know about it. And all the training and all the education that I may have received growing up, I find that I'm thankful I can read, and I'm thankful that I have the Holy Spirit that can help me to understand His Word. Because you see, folks, if you're dependent on your education and you're dependent on your talents and you're dependent on your gift of gab, then I'm going to tell you something, you're going to come up short. You've got to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the fact that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit means that Jesus Christ was glorified. His glorification meant our enablement. His glorification meant that you and I would have power to be able to do His work. Now, there are things that get in the way of that power being manifested fully in our lives. Stephen was a man who was full of faith and power. He didn't have any bad connections and clogged pipes. We talked about that last week, two illustrations from my house. We went through some clogged pipes recently, and we went through some bad connections. And you know, you can't run your vacuum cleaner if the plug's not working, if there's crossed wires. And you can't have your water drain out of your bathtub if there's a clog in the line. I want to tell you something. You can't minister for Christ if you don't have a good connection and clean pipes. The Bible says that we're to be channels of His power. We are reflectors of His light. And we are channels of His power to be able to do His work. And if the pipes are clogged and the connections are bad, you're not going to have His power. And you're not going to produce works that are meet for His glory. Now, you and I must earnestly and sacrificially and prayerfully strive to be empowered with that same power in which Stephen was powered. We're told that he was full of faith and, because of the way of the Greek construction, full of power. Now, how can you and I enjoy that power of the Holy Spirit? Well, there are just certain things that you and I need to have in place in our lives whereby the Spirit is not hindered from doing His work. We must put loyalty to Christ first at any cost. Loyalty to Christ. Some people are loyalty to family first. They absolutely, family comes first. Well, wait a minute, I want to tell you something. If there's anything in front of Christ, you won't have power. You won't have power, I'm sorry. Well, God wants us to honor our family. Yes, He does, but He wants us to honor Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek ye first family and relatives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's God's order. We got to follow God's order. And if we're going to enjoy His power, we've got to make sure that we put loyalty to Christ first at any cost. The exaltation of Christ is the key to the Spirit's work and manifestation of power in our lives. Anything less than that reality isn't a Christian church. I would rather be a member of a group that meets in a tiny room on a side street than be a part of the biggest church with lots of activities that does not follow the New Testament in its doctrine, in its spirit, in its living, in its holiness, and in its attitude. Much better. People say, I want to be big, 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 big. I want to tell you something. If the power of God is absent, big is wrong. If the power of God is present and big is also present, that's fine. But you know what the church is striving for? Bigness without the power of God. And that's why God said when He came to the church of Laodicea that He had to knock. He was outside. Church was going on. And inside the church they were saying, oh, we are rich. We are filled to the full mark. And they weren't. They were on empty because Christ wasn't there. You ever had a gas gauge that didn't work? We've got a diesel tractor out here that the fuel gauge doesn't work on. And you've got to visually check the tank. Because you can be out there working and all of a sudden, boom, 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 and it's all done. And it's not easy to bleed a diesel after you run it out of fuel. So you got to visually take the cap off and look down inside there. But have you ever had a car that you thought you had just enough? This week, I was driving our Suburban and I ran it down to the little line there. It's all, you never know. Sometimes you say, well, it has a gallon and a half. I've got plenty of thing. But I started heading down the road going to the house thinking I was going to make it, and it started sputtering. And that's fuel injected. And all I could see was dirt particles in the bottom of my gas tank being pumped up into the fuel injection. So I hit it. I wanted to get enough speed in case I needed to glide, and I kind of sputtered along, and I made it up to the Citgo and got into the gas station in time to fill it up. And I'm praying that I don't have dirt now in my fuel injection system. But I thought I had a little bit more. Thought I could make it. Go another day. Didn't happen. You got to have fuel in order to drive the car. You have to have gas in the tank. And as a Christian, you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit, or you're just going to spend your time sputtering. Yep. Just sputtering through life. Spitting and hammering. Trying to get to the point A to point B. And I just wish this thing would run better. But you don't have the power. You don't have the power of God's Spirit. Now please understand this. We cannot duplicate Pentecost any more than we can duplicate Bethlehem. We cannot duplicate Pentecost any more than we can duplicate the crucifixion of Christ. There are some in the church today that spend their all their time talking about having Pentecost. Let's have another Pentecost. There was only one Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came one time. There's one glorification of Christ, and there is one coming of the Holy Spirit to the earth to indwell believers. Let's just let that sink in a little bit. A lot of people, they don't think things through in the Bible, so they're trying to duplicate something that's already taken place. You know what we need to do? We just need to say, Lord, I need your power. You can have a little bit of Pentecost in that regard, because now you've stopped depending on yourself. You're depending upon the Lord. The power for ministry and life is through Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is in the world today because Jesus was glorified and exalted. Jesus told us what He was going to do after He came. That is the Spirit. He shall glorify Me. That's what the Holy Spirit would do. John 16:14. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Do you realize that every time you open your Bible, the Holy Spirit of God can show you what you need to know if you depend upon Him and you want His power manifested? You can understand the Word of God if you have the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want You to teach me today. I want You to help me understand. How do I know that He'll do that? On the basis of John 16:14. He shall receive of Mine and will show it unto you. He will have the Word. That's talking about the revelation being complete. Once the revelation of God's Word is complete, He shall receive of Mine and He will show it unto you. God doesn't hide things from His children. He wants us to know. But He also wants you to know through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go on. How many times have you heard preachers pray that fire would fall on us? Maybe you've heard that expression. Oh, Lord, may fire fall. I want to tell you something. I don't want fire to fall on me. You go through the Bible, and every time fire fell, people died. Nahab and Abihu, fire fell from heaven, and they were carried away in their coats. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire fell from heaven and destroyed the cities. What's the problem? They get all messed up and confused. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8 says this, And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. We don't want fire to fall. All we need is His power. Now, what they do is they take the passage here in Acts chapter 2, and they said they saw tongues that looked like flames of fire. Now, there's a difference between fire and looking like fire. Actually, it was cloven tongues is the literal translation. What looked to be cloven tongues descending from heaven. It wasn't fire. And so when we pray, oh Lord, help fire to fall on us, you're not praying a biblical prayer. You're not praying a biblical prayer. God's going to rain down fire from heaven upon the wicked. This is the age of grace. We want to see the wicked come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. They need the Holy Spirit of God to regenerate them and to give them new life in Christ. Old things passed away and all things become new. That's what we want the wicked to see, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, they saw something that in appearance looked like fire. That is how they described what they saw. It was not fire, but it looked like fire. A better translation of that verse 3 in chapter 2 is this. There appeared unto them tongues parting asunder. That's a literal translation of the phrase. Now, in that expression, God appealed to the ear gate. They heard a sound like rushing wind. Now again, like rushing wind. They heard a sound, and they saw with their eyes what looked like cloven tongues, like fire. So he appealed to their ear gate and to their eye gate in the coming of the Holy Spirit. This was a manifestation, folks, of the glorification of Christ as the Spirit of God came down from the throne of God, bringing forth an understanding. Now this is not, and don't confuse this please, this is not baptism of fire. Baptism of fire is yet to take place. The baptism of fire has to do with the judgment of this whole world. So that's not talking about that. What it's talking about is the coming of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the glory of Jesus Christ in that coming, that you and I might have power. Now I want to talk very quickly about some things that you and I need to know. What kind of people are not at home in a Spirit-filled church? I want us to think for just a moment. What kind of people are not at home in a Spirit-filled church? First of all, those who put their religion on like a coat. It's wintertime, getting close to wintertime. And, you know, we're all carrying our coats with us now. All right, we put our coat on to keep us warm. A jacket, of course, is not warm. All it's doing is preventing our body heat from escaping. Some people put on their religion like they do a jacket, and they can take it off just as easily. Those kind of people will not be at home in a Spirit-filled church because they put their religion on like clothes. They'll put it on, take it off. Put it on, take it off. Now, you and I, as Christians, we have it on and it stays on. That's the kind of salvation we preach. That's the kind of gospel we proclaim. It's not a salvation that you can put on Sunday and take off Monday. Put it back on Wednesday night and then take it back off when you get back home. That's not Christianity. That's hypocrisy. That's what the world does. The world is full of people who put on religion like a jacket and they go to church and, well, they're not going to be happy in a Spirit-filled church. Secondly, those who refuse to let the Bible endanger their own personal plans. Now let that one soak in for just a moment. There are people that say to themselves, they would never say this out loud, they say, I'm not going to let this book get in the way of my personal pleasure. I'm not going to let this book get in the way of my agenda. I've got an agenda. And I'll take whatever the Bible says as long as it fits my agenda. As long as it fits in my personal plans, I will gladly follow the Bible. But the moment that it crosses my personal plans and my ambitions and my agenda, then the book goes out the door because I'm going to have my own way. Those kind of people would not be happy with the Holy Spirit and the power. Because you see, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. His presence does that on a daily basis in the heart of the Christian. And I would go so far to say, as those kind of people that won't let the Bible, they're either going to be chastened by the Lord or they're not saved and they won't have any kind of chastening in their life. Those kind of people would not be happy in a Spirit-filled church. Number three, those who expect church to be entertaining. Well, today, entertainment is, that's the key to church. You've got to entertain the people. We've got more Christian comedy people going around to the churches. Christian comedy. Getting up in front of church, you know, and they swell the numbers back up. Oh, it's so good to have you back in church. They didn't come because the Bible was being preached. They came because somebody funny was going to be up there. We pack our churches when there's music groups. Oh, we've got all kinds of entertainment. Come to this and stay for this, that, and the other, and we'll welcome you into our... Listen, folks, the world doesn't need more music and the world doesn't need more comedy. The world needs Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is supposed to be about. And we've gotten away from our mission. Our mission is to be a proclaimer of good news, not a purveyor of entertainment, not a purveyor of what tickles the ear. And then fourthly, those who embrace a church only for cultural values. You know, they want to feel good. They want to feel good when they're at church. The Bible talks about those kind of people. They're the ones that have itching ears. They want to be tickled. There are people that are not saved, but there are people that want to have the enjoyment of a church fellowship. You know, there are a lot of guys that only come to church because they're looking for a wife. Isn't that interesting? You know, if you're going to get a good wife, you better find them at church, right? So they'll come to church, get them a girl, get married, and then they're gone. You know? Now, is that what the church is for? Cultural type thing? You know, I want to get a good girl. I don't want to get a messed up girl who's been messed up by the world. I want to get a nice, clean girl, so I go to church and get her. Is that what the church is about? Now, I pray for every one of our young people. I want to see them get the right mates, and I believe they ought to get them from church. Amen? But they ought not to just go attend church just so they can get them one. That's not why. We're here to magnify Christ. There's a bigger reason than that. And we need to understand that. Now, what kind of people will rejoice in a Spirit-filled group? Very quickly. What kind of people? Those who have in their hearts and minds a desire to be rid of their sin. Let me say that again. The kind of people that rejoice in a Spirit-filled group are those who have in their hearts and minds a desire to be rid of their sin. Did you confess your sin this morning? Do you talk to the Lord? Say, Lord, I had a wrong thought there. I need to confess that. Lord, I did something to someone this week, and Lord, you've just convicted me about that. Lord, I want to confess that. I'm going to go make that right with that individual. That's walking with the Lord. That's Spirit-filled living. I wonder how often we confess our sins and how we make things right with others that we've talked bad about behind their back. We've said something ugly about them, but we don't have enough courage to go to them and say, I said something in other people's presence that was wrong about you, and I just want to let you know I'm sorry for what I've done. I've asked God to forgive me, and I want to ask you to forgive me as well. Can you imagine the radical transformation that would take place in most churches? They might stop hating each other. They might actually enjoy each other if they desire to be rid of their sin. Secondly, those who want to know God and to walk with Him. To know God and to walk with Him. Folks, this is the most precious book that you possess. Are you spending time in it daily? Are you walking with God in His Word? There's no substitute. There's absolutely no substitute for the precious Word of God. Thirdly, those who have learned to recognize and obey the voice of the shepherd. I believe that the Lord speaks to us. He talks to us. He'll bring things to mind. This week, I was thinking about something like that, and the Lord brought something into my mind, and said, yes, Lord, I know I didn't do right there. I got to make that right. I think the Lord speaks to us in that regard. He speaks to your conscience through His Word. And He brings to mind things that need to be straightened up, that need to be taken care of. I tell you, the Lord will help you remember things. I've had a regular prayer request. Anytime that we've got something, Lord, please, we've got the faculty staff Christmas party. Help me not to forget anything. That's my greatest fear, to forget something and just blow it big time and everybody have an awful time because I forgot something or whatever. And so I've just had this arrangement over the years with the Lord. Lord, I seek His face. Lord, help me to remember everything. Don't let me forget something. And there's been times I've been walking out the door and went and got in the truck and, I forgot the most important thing. I had to get out and go back in. And it was just the Lord undertaking. Do we have that kind of a walk with the Lord that we can just talk to Him and He talks to us and shares, hey, you need to remember that. You're going to forget that. This is where the fact that God is real comes in. He's not this force out in the universe somewhere, and I wish I could just tap into it. I'll take my little extension cord, and I'll just tap into the force. No. It's when He lives inside of us. And then fourthly here, kind of people who rejoice in a Spirit-filled group are those who are sensitive to the Lord's presence. And that kind of goes in line with what I just said. I've got a new title for some Christians, Sam's Club Christians. And the reason where I got this title from is when you go to Sam's Club, they've got all kinds of little tables set up over in the food section. I have a tendency to kind of move that direction when I go into Sam's. You know, I might need toilet paper over here, but I'm going to go over and check out the food section because they've got these dear ladies with little microwaves. And they've got all these little sample pizza things. And they've got chili. And they've got all kinds of things, you know. And I enjoy that. But you know what? It's never enough to satisfy. You know? Could I have another one? You know? Sure, you can have another one. And you go over to the next one, you have enough. But you know, it's never enough. It just satisfies. And that's how a lot of Christians live. They're nibblers. They nibble on truth. They sample a little bit, but it's never enough to fill them up. God wants you to be full of His power. He doesn't want you to be a nibbler when it comes to His power. He wants you to be like Stephen, full of faith and full of power. And you know why that power has come to us? Because Jesus Christ was glorified. And He said, I will send My Spirit. When I'm glorified, I will send My Spirit so that you will not be without comfort, that you will not be without power to be able to carry on My work. Isn't God great? Isn't He good to take care of us in that regard? Oh, the glorification of Jesus Christ, folks, is one of the most important events. It took place in heaven. We didn't see it. But we saw the after fruits of that glorification in the sending of His Holy Spirit. Clean up your pipes. Get your connections in order so that you can enjoy the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leak out, but He can be grieved when you are living in the flesh and the pipes get clogged and the connections get bad because you're living for yourself. God help us to have His power, and that we might have this epitaph written over our life like Stephen. I wonder sometimes if on his gravesite they wrote these words, Stephen, full of faith and full of power. Wouldn't that be a wonderful epitaph to have over our lives? May God help us to enjoy His Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that You would work in our hearts. Lord, so many times we're guilty of trying to minister in the flesh. We think that we've got a gift of the tongue so we can just help people be saved just because we're a good talker. But Lord, that doesn't work. We must have the power of God manifested. Oh, we may have a great education, and we praise God for education. We certainly don't want to be ignorant. But Father, that's not what matters. What matters is, are we in the Spirit? Do we possess the Spirit of God because we have come to Christ and found salvation full and free? Lord, I pray that You would help us to examine our hearts. Lord, so many times the wilderness has encroached into our lives to the point that it's choked us off from the power that we must have. We pray, dear Father, that we'll get back to the business of clearing out the wilderness through the power of Thy Holy Spirit so that we might be able to conduct Your business here upon this earth. Lord, for those here without Christ, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be manifested in their heart and life. May they come to know Him before it's too late. Help us as Christians to seek Thy power in our life. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.